rich and whose troubles are few may come around to see my point of view. What price the crown of a king on his throne?
The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services. Walker Medical Linen specializes in bed linens, towels, scrubs, and lab coats. Family owned and operated for over 140 years. Find out why hospitals of all sizes, surgery centers, and medical clinics trust Walker Medical Linen. Online at walkermls.com.
Feds got my man. It's real, son. Cause my God.
Welcome
son,
back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John. I think Nate Bucati, Marco Marquez, and Garrick Dieter in studio. What's up, Garrick Dieter? How are you?
I'm great. Nate, you there? Heard you had a rough day yesterday trying to get in and out of a room or something like that.
What's up, Garrick? Yeah, I actually checked my key this time before I went downstairs to get some breakfast to make sure that it worked. So I did not get locked out this morning like I did yesterday.
You're not a two key guy when you're at a hotel?
You know, both of them did not work. Yeah, like they both got demagnetized. I don't know what happened.
I mean, we got to figure that out. We can't be messing around, man.
That's exactly right.
Apparently you got to keep your two keys in separate pockets, huh?
Yes, that's, yeah.
You should just get a lanyard with a holder and just put them in there.
I used to keep one in my wallet and then one just like the you know, like in the pocket or whatever else. But you're in, we're good. We got lots to talk about here with Garrick Dieter, first of all. And look, this is, we want people held accountable, Garrick, on this show. Has Marco led you down a troubled path? Do you have a bone to pick with Marco Marquez on this show?
So I met Marco the first time I came on, and I like the guy a lot.
Okay.
I start trusting him. We start talking sports betting. I'm really feeling like he's a good guy. He's a good source. I'll listen to him a couple times.
Okay, so you started off on the right foot.
Started off good. I mean,
I like this kid.
It seemed like he really knew what he was talking about.
And okay.
So last week, Thursday night football. Well, Thursday night, he sends me like 6 bets. So I'm like, oh,
so is this unsolicited?
Just
out of nowhere, he's saying, "Hey, Garrick Dieter, here's some good picks."
Yeah.
You didn't say, "Hey, Marco, help me out here."
Never asked for anything. So he sent them. So I'm like, oh, he must be really feeling these picks. So
what are you sending picks out for, unsolicited, by the way?
Is that against the rule?
No, but like, why? I mean, you're sitting there. Did you do that to a lot of people?
Well, we talked sports.
You're just
betting.
Saying, "Garrick Dieter, here's six of my picks."
So long story short, Marco went 0-6.
No. Oh my God.
So credibility factor on
how the hell do you go 0-6?
Marco's picks are not good, man. I think I gotta sit this guy down after the show and talk to him a little bit.
How do you feel about that? That you sent him 6 picks that you liked and
I was
they
embarrassed.
All lost.
I was embarrassed. I didn't want it. I was worried about today, actually. I mentioned him. I mentioned it before Gary. I was like, dude, I'm so sorry.
were you afraid he wasn't gonna come in?
No, I was just afraid he's gonna send like a loan shark or something. Or
Nate, how do you feel about
give me my money?
How do you feel about money? I like when you guys, you know, hey, I'm 78% this proven, Marco. I'm 0% this year proven. 0-6 last week. What do you say about that, Nate?
See, Marco says, is that against the rules? Marco, it's not about it being against the rules. It's when you're gambling your own money, you're just losing your own money.
Right.
I don't want to be responsible for somebody else's money. You know?
Like, I don't want there to be awkward a situation with one of our valued guests on the show, you know.
I'll give you a pro tip, Marco. When you're sending the text, just put question marks after each bet, so that way it's like I'm not too sure about
like,
this.
Like, what do you think of this?
Like, just like Chiefs over question mark.
Who were these picks?
Okay.
Who did you get?
The only one I can think of off the top of my head is Cordell Patterson. Over 65 rushing and receiving yards.
Oh, that
yards.
Was the Falcons' fault.
That sure as hell didn't happen. He couldn't even get touches.
I think he ended a game with like 18 yards total. So
he was on the competitor. He didn't get nothing.
Yeah, it was CP over 66.5 reception and rushing yards.
Not close. He had one catch for 2 yards, so not
close.
They
were playing the Panthers.
Well,
Joe,
that's fine. Go ahead.
We got some bad news for Marco. Anthony Sherman just texted me and said, do we need to handle Marco?
Uh-oh. Do you need to be handled?
Not the sausage.
This is handled by the sausage? This is a situation. Okay, so now, let's just... That's a good idea. Next time, just put a question mark next to it. Like, hey, what do you think it is?
Question marks.
Yeah.
That is kind of impressive, 0 for 6, though. I thought you were going to say, like, he only got two of them right. He got nothing right. What else is in there?
Interesting about Marco is the confidence he has
right.
with all these bets.
What else did you send him?
Yo, man, I was struggling last night, but I'm going to win tonight, baby.
Right. Right.
There's a Luka Doncic bet, like, over 40 points and assists.
Oh, yeah. This guy's doing everything. He's hitting
Josh
you with
Hart.
NFL, NBA. What else did he do?
Josh Hart, over 11.5 assists and rebounds. Tyrese Maxey, who I really like, over 5.5 assists.
What's going on with you?
I didn't listen to him on some of those because I didn't know who the players were. So
Don't listen to me anymore. You know what? I won't even text you about sports betting
you need
anymore.
To.
I'm done.
No, I'm giving up the life. Now I want you to because we want to keep track of if you ever have a winning week.
Just send the question marks. You'll be all right.
Okay, so this is a question that I have for you. And I don't ask too much about personalities or whatever else, but I've been fascinated by this. And Nate, you can weigh in on this while you're eating. What are you eating, by the way? What did you go get?
Did I not turn my volume down?
No, I know because you told Marco you'd text us and you're gonna go get something to eat.
Yeah, I'm putting down one of those instant bowls of Raisin Bran, Kellogg's Raisin Bran.
What kind of hotel are you staying in for this? How's Invicta put you up? Where are you staying?
Cambria Suites or something like that.
Nice.
Cambria Hotels.
Yeah, reasonable. It's pretty good. Yeah, nice
it's
breakfast.
Fine. It's nice. It's like this is a business type place. You know, this isn't one of those.
You're doing business.
Yeah, this is a business place. Here.
Okay, and so when Tyreek Hill left, and you're a friend of Tyreek Hill, okay? When he left, I remember he on his podcast. He thanked a bunch of people. He had that open letter where he thanked. And mentioned every wide receiver. He mentioned you, but every time he would talk about Kansas City and thank all of his former teammates, he never mentioned Mecole Hardman, not once. And it was multiple times. And it's like one time would be he just forgot, but he never mentioned Mecole Hardman. And so we would wonder, boy, that's kind of interesting. Maybe Tyreek Hill just wasn't a big fan of Mecole Hardman, whatever. And so then. So then yesterday, did you see this tweet?
Mm-hmm.
Fox Sports NFL tweets out, the best wide receiver in the NFL right now is, and then Tyreek Hill retweeted it and said, Mecole Hardman. So is he doing that because he's a buddy, or is he jacking with him? Was there something with Mecole Hardman that he didn't like because they drafted? Supposedly, the story goes, they drafted Mecole Hardman to replace Tyreek Hill or to be the next Tyreek Hill. If there was it. What?
No, I think they were good friends. Like Tyreek, he was basically friends with everybody. And I think in like those letters and all the messages he sent thanking guys, I think he had a long list to thank, and maybe just Mecole just got left out because he wasn't there as long as some other guys. But Tyreek likes to mess around on Twitter and stuff. So I mean, did you see all the other ones he put out? He put out like every Dolphins receiver on there too, and. He just likes to have fun with the media because I think when he puts that tweet out, he wants to say himself, but it's more fun when he can just start tagging all these other.
So it's not a shot at Mecole Hardman.
No, definitely not at all.
Did you see that, Nate? You know what I'm talking? We've talked about this before, right? I looked at that. And goes, he what?
Yeah.
I think he put out like six guys.
I laughed out loud. I thought that was funny.
No, he likes to mess around. He's enjoying himself right now.
Okay, as well he should be, with the way they're playing. And now they're in first place.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there's the question. The best wide receiver in the NFL, and he's in the running, but after what I saw in Buffalo, I say it's Justin Jefferson. I've never seen – that's one of the best catches I've ever seen, and I don't know if I've ever seen a wide receiver dominate a game like that. Like next-gen stats, what do they say? His last six catches all had a less than 50% chance to succeed. And he caught all of them, double teamed. That one catch on 4th and 18 was incredible. Who do you think the best receiver in football is?
I would say Justin Jefferson. I mean, to me, it's between him and Tyreek. And what Justin Jefferson does, I feel like he, when he has big games, those games are just insane games. It's like 180 yards and a touchdown, making crazy catches.
They couldn't do nothing.
Yeah, they couldn't guard him. And it's fun. I love when a receiver gets like that. But he's definitely a special talent. I thought at the beginning of the year, even I mean, just what he did last year, going and now he's in his second year, just how good he is, how his routes are. He catches the ball easy. And I don't know. I mean, Tyreek has obviously been consistent for the last 6 years and still at the top of his game. So it's fun to watch. I think whoever has the most receiving yards at the end of the year, we can just say is the better receiver. And right now they're battling.
Nate Buchanan, any comments on that?
I mean, it's. I feel like it's a little tough just to go by receiving yards because some guys got better quarterbacks throwing to them than the others, though, don't they?
I mean, if you compare those two, I mean, I would say Tua and Kirk Cousins are somewhat on the same level.
Yeah, that's fair. I guess that's fair. It's hard to compare them because they're different kind of receivers, too.
Yeah,
right?
I think Justin Jefferson is definitely more the prototypical receiver.
And so, the other question I want to ask you, because this still blows my mind, the 2019 LSU national champion team, their two starting wide receivers were Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase.
Yep.
That would be the best receiving tandem in the NFL right now.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I mean, I don't know. Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill are pretty damn good.
I mean, it's right there. But, I mean, Ja'Marr Chase in college. Yeah. And they had Joe Burrow throwing the ball. And they had Clyde in the backfield. And their slot receiver was Terrence Marshall Jr., who, by the way, is playing well. That's unfreaking believable.
Yeah, they had a really good team that year. And it showed.
Yeah.
And obviously, they won it.
I wanted to ask you about that. Then we were also talking about in the break, and I was lamenting the fact that you've yet to take a dive into the world of fantasy football, right?
Correct. Staying away from fantasy football, all in on sports betting.
But you think maybe next year you might dip your toe in the water of fantasy football, maybe.
If I have the right people influencing me that way, it's a possibility.
What about a league that we would start with Marco as commissioner? Is that something you would feel comfortable with, or would you ask me to look for a different commissioner, be honest?
I would say we probably need a different commissioner.
A different commissioner. What about Anthony Sherman? Would he be the commissioner? He doesn't have, but just like to be the guy that holds people accountable.
I think I would rock with Sherman on that.
Because you know, like in the world of baseball, Tommy Pham punched someone punched their mouth loose. Because of inter-reserve in fantasy football. This gets serious. So you need someone that has an iron fist.
You need an intimidator.
You need the sauce. Maybe something like that.
Sherm's in. Okay, just texted me and said he's in.
Okay, we'll figure something up like that. Okay, so I was mad because I told you I picked up Kadarius Toney.
Yep.
But then he didn't do much his first game. I think, you know what? He's not going to do enough to keep on the roster. I got to pick up a stupid defense because of bye weeks. I let him go. Then, of course, he goes off last week. And now no practice from Mecole Hardman, no practice from Juju, no practice from MVS. How great does that trade look now?
I think you made a mistake. I mean,
terrible mistake.
I feel like from what he did just in his first week, to me, I would have kept him.
Yeah.
I mean, just seeing, I thought he looked good. He looked comfortable.
Are you surprised how quickly, though, he's been able to get acclimated? And now, Kafka's over there.
Yep.
And so that helped, right? But, I mean, he's fit in perfectly so far.
Yeah, offenses are pretty similar. I tried out for the Giants for like a week, and most of the plays were – it was the same play, just different terminology. So
there's a lot of similarity there.
Yeah, definitely a lot of similarities. And I think Coach Reed does an awesome job of if a guy comes in and he knows that he can make plays, he's going to get him in comfortable positions, and they're going to run through those plays every single day and walk through the plays and – just make sure he's 100% comfortable before game time starts. And, I mean, he looks very comfortable out there, which is, I mean, it's surprising because the Chiefs' offense is pretty hard. So it's good to see. And I think that the Chiefs are going to benefit a lot just from him just being out there.
I don't know if you wanted to say this on the air, but who'd you say that he reminds you of, he looks like?
He looked like when he was, I mean, in the second game, he looked like Tyreek. I mean, just from what he was doing. Explosive plays when he got the ball in his hands, the little stop and goes. I mean, going up and over top of guys.
Adjusting his gloves as he's getting ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, he really did look like Tyreek, and I'm not obviously not saying he is, but I mean, he had a pretty good second impression on me.
But for a third and a sixth round pick for a guy that was recently drafted in the first round like that, that looks like a steal right now.
Yeah, I think you'll see a lot of him this week and a lot of him moving forward, especially with the injuries.
Did you? So the other thing I wanted to ask you about, a lot of people were talking about the hits that were put on Juju Smith-Schuster and MVS, and even the Chiefs were mad and outraged and thought that should have been. Andy Reid thought it should have been a penalty, but it wasn't a penalty. Nate Buchady has been one of the few people that have said he did not think it was a penalty. He didn't have a problem with the hit. What do you say? On Juju, let's talk about Juju, because that's the big one that everyone's been debating.
Yeah, I think the Juju one, to me, I don't think it was a penalty.
Nate Buchady, there you go.
It's like that fine line between does he hit him up top or does he just take his legs out and probably take him out for the rest of the year? So, I mean, to me, you have to be kind of happy with what happened. Otherwise, I mean, you see what happens with those full speed when a guy's coming in and a guy catches it and the defender just goes low and it takes him out. I mean,
Nobody wants to get hit low.
I think of like Gronk when that happened and just, I mean, it devastated what happened to him. And I don't know. To me, I saw all the stuff on Twitter and all the guys complaining about it, but to me, it's just a good football hit.
Nate, you hated. You feel vindicated because Gehrig did.
Oh man, big time! Yeah, I thought Gehrig was going to stick the sausage on me too.
That's kind of weird. Don't say that.
No, I think everybody was upset with the result of the hit because it was so scary. You know, I mean, you see Juju on the ground and he's in that fencing pose, and nobody wants to see that. I don't want to see that, and I'm glad they have rules to try to take that out of the game, but. I just try to put myself in the position of the defender, and I guess I would ask anybody, what would you have him do in that situation? He read the play, he came off his man, and he was there in position. In the old days, he's lighting Smith-Schuster up. Like, he is seeing, you know, and I'm glad that he didn't do that, but he pulled up on that hit. You know, he kind of stopped and just turned his shoulder and let Juju kind of collide with him and just kind of stood his ground. He didn't launch into him or anything. Now, the other one, I thought he launched into MVS, and I felt like that one was actually worse personally. But so, yeah, that makes me feel a lot better to hear you say, because I know it's not a popular opinion, and I don't want to see Juju get hurt like that. But I just wonder, like, what is the defender supposed to do in that situation? Just completely get out of the way, let him catch it and run by you, or dive at his knees, like you said, and now you're possibly – ending the guy's season and maybe worse, you know? I don't know. I really tough spot for a defender to be in right there, I feel like.
Do you second-guess yourself knowing now that Nate agrees with you?
No, I think this is one of the good times that me and Nate are starting to get along a little bit.
Okay, so I feel like you had no issue with that.
No, I didn't. And then the MVS one, I mean, to me, I thought that was, like, a clean hit. I mean, he led with the shoulder. I know he launched a little bit, but, I mean, it's football at the end of the day. All the guys, I feel like everybody knows what you signed up for. I know football is starting to change a little bit, but there still has to be a factor where a defender can make a big hit and not have to worry about getting a penalty. Because, if it happened with the Chiefs guy, you'd be – I mean, I feel like everybody would be on the other way, so.
So the concussion protocol.
Yep.
So, like, when you first, like, you have to take a test, was it the beginning of the season?
Yeah, I never had a concussion, but you do take a test every year. Typically, I want to say it's in the summer at some point, like early June. And it's just like a quick, I guess it's really not quick, but it's probably like a 15-minute online test that you take. There's a couple different things you do, but. Yeah, I never had a concussion, so never was in the protocol. So I don't know what happens after that. But
do you remember like what some of the questions were?
You have to like read, or they'll give you a list of words. You have to read back to them, numbers. You have to walk in a straight line. A couple random balance things. Just a couple random, kind of like a drunk test almost.
Do you Did you try your best on it? Because I've heard, you know, we hear some players don't do very well, so then if they do have a concussion, they'll still pass the test.
Yeah, I always felt comfortable trying hard, so I was disappointed if my balance or something was messed up. Because you have to, like, stand on one foot, close your eyes, and you start thinking of random things. And
right.
You just, like, start falling over. You're like, I don't know what's going on.
Even though that wasn't, you don't think it was a penalty, that scares the hell out of, you know, the team, right? And Travis Kelce said they kind of rallied around everybody. Mm-hmm. And even though it was, he was gone, it seemed like the team, and Cisco was responsible for a couple of those hits, it seems like it fired up the team.
Yeah, I think that was it was a chippy game, and I feel like if you can find something in the game that gives you some energy, you have to take it, and I think that's what the Chiefs do well, and I think that's what Kelce does well, is when people challenge him and challenge teammates, he's kind of always the guy that finds himself stepping forward.
We have Garrick Dieter in studio. Any follow-up there, Nate Bucchetti, before we break?
Now let's go ahead and take a break.
You got to go to the bathroom or something?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll do that. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the show. We were talking a little UFC in the commercial break because Garrick Dieter is a huge UFC fan. And Nate's out. He did the Invicta card last night. And it was a highly entertaining card. And we both talked about Michael Chandler being one of our favorite fighters because he's so exciting. And you're never going to get a bad fight with Michael Chandler. But, man, he takes so much punishment. He gets busted up. And that fight was close, man, and who knows if it would have gone to the decision, but that was a hell of a fight. We both wanted Chandler to win, but Gaethje won. And then one of Phil's favorite fighters is Israel Adesanya, and he was – I mean, I was pissed, too. I wanted Adesanya to win. If he would have got to the end of the round, I think he would have won a decision. But what did you think of the card on Saturday night?
I think it was awesome. I think – I feel like in the UFC, there's a fine line between the champions and guys that are entertaining. I think the – most of the champions are pretty boring fighters, and boring as in they're so good that it just seems boring to fans. And I always lean on, if I'm paying for a fight to watch on pay-per-view, like I want to be entertained. And that's why I love like the prelim fights, because those guys are coming out swinging, trying to make a name for themselves. And I feel like Michael Chandler has gotten to the point where he is a star in the UFC, and he loves to put on a show, and I think every single fight in the UFC for him has just been electric. I think he can put a lot of people in seats, and that's a trait that Dana White loves, and I think he will continue to get chances to make his mark, but he's probably going to lose most fights unless he, like you said, fights somebody that's a little less durable, because these big dogs that he's fighting can just – I don't know how they take those punches, but –
because like Poirier is a bad matchup for him.
Yeah.
Gaethje's a bad, and it makes for exciting fights, mm-hmm. but those guys are too durable. They're animals. You can't get them out of there. And Chandler gets busted up. But man, he dominated that second round. He might win. He might, you know. And I wanted him to win. He's in every fight that he's in, there's a moment that you think he's got him.
Yeah.
He's got him.
Yep.
But Dustin Poirier is too. His chin's too good. You know. But that was a hell of a fight. And then what did you think of Adesanya?
I watched all the stuff leading up to that fight. I respect Adesanya as a fighter, but like I think he's super boring. So I hate buying his pay-per-views. But this Pereira dude, like, I mean, all the stuff leading up to it, he reminded me of like those. I just remember in Breaking Bad, they had like two killers that they just kept showing that were walking around in suits. And that's the picture I just kept getting from Pereira. I'm like, man, this dude's just a monster.
He hits so hard.
He's big. He's so big. For being 185 pounds, I don't know how they cut weight like that, but they said he weighs like 230.
Oh, they put themselves through hell.
I don't get it.
But I mean, you could just tell, like sometimes in boxing with Deontay Wilder, he's not a great boxer, mm-hmm. right? But you could just tell when he hits you with the way guys react, it's just different.
Yep.
right? And that's the way I felt like that. You, it was even early on, even with his jab, when he touched someone, mm-hmm. it's just different.
Yep.
And he got it. So I didn't. Once he got to the fifth round, thinking, okay, he's not going to get him out of there. And he did. I was rooting for Adesanya, but I'd like to see the rematch.
Yeah, that'd be a fun one. The UFC is awesome, man. It's the most exciting sports league there is. NFL's pretty good, but UFC, I mean, just those 5-minute rounds just get me going.
So the fight, it's gonna be in February, Volkanovski.
Yes, I think Volkanovski and Islam. That'll be a crazy fight.
Dude, we gotta do something chicken and pickle for that. Can we
definitely will
make sure, because I mean he's moving up, and I went from rooting against him to now. Like when he fought Ortega, mm-hmm. I thought it was over two different times. So yep. I was rooting for Ortega. Now I love him because he's incredible. He's number one pound for pound, I think. But moving up like that, I don't know.
I know Islam. It's like to see what he did to Charles Oliveira was insane. Just I mean he, it looked like I don't know those like especially
he's a beast.
Khabib is the same thing. Like this guy just manhandles these other grown men that are the best in the world at what they do, and it's crazy to watch. But I don't know Volkanovski.
And he'll be in Australia.
He's gonna be
his people. That's gonna be awesome.
He's small. He's gonna be wiggling around a lot.
Right, that'll be fun to watch. Nate Bukati, of course, in Denver, Colorado, where he called the Invicta 50 last night. Nate.
Yeah, it's funny. Exactly what Gehrig was describing about sometimes the most exciting fights are the ones down the card a little bit, because like here last night they did. Invicta does a lot of kind of groundbreaking. They'll try different formats and things like that because, you know, it's an organization that's trying to draw more eyeballs and all that stuff. So they did this tournament last night where it was four fighters going for the strawweight belts. So he had to win 2 3-round fights. So the champ had to go 6 rounds last night, which was almost unprecedented. There was some arguing back and forth by some people as to whether or not that had actually happened before in organized MMA. But anyways, it's not very common. And by the championship round, that was probably the worst fight we had last night, right? Because both sides, I think they were tired, but also it's like you get to that point, maybe you don't want to take as many chances, you know? Everybody's a little more, you got to protect yourself against so many different things. And that's one of the things that I've been having fun learning the more I do these Invicta cards and spend time around guys like Eve Edwards and Megan Anderson and Julie Kedzie, who have so much experience with it, is all the different things you have to guard yourself against when you're in that cage compared to if you're just doing one martial art, it's like you just have to worry about that. But we had jiu-jitsu style submissions last night. We had people, you know, that wanted to come in with karate background with all kinds of flying kicks and things like that. It's a great sport because of that too. And I will say this, like, I think the more you watch the fighting, the more you realize, I think you can start to appreciate what actually happens when they get on the ground. Cause I'll be honest, the first few times I watched them, like, I don't know what they're doing right now when they're down there. But so when you start to figure out all the strategy that's going on and you see the really good jiu-jitsu, you know, fighters and all those things, it's entertaining whether they're standing up or on the ground. It is really, it's like there's almost never a boring fight because you know the thing can end any second, right?
And since he's been getting involved in all this and he's been doing a little jiu-jitsu, if I promoted a charity fight where Nate agreed to fight anyone else in the media, an open challenge, would you pay top dollar to see it, Gary Dieter?
I'd be there front row.
Right. And we could raise a lot of money.
What do the guys say at Sporting when like Nate comes in and they do like the jiu-jitsu rolling, like fresh meat or something like that? What do they scream out?
What do they call you?
Yep.
Fresh meat.
But I'm talking like any, yep. But it's an open challenge. You would fight any other member of the media in Kansas City. We'd raise money for charity. Gary Dieter already said he paid top dollar, front row. We're going to make this happen, and we're going to raise a lot of money for great causes, all right?
I'm not necessarily ready
okay,
to
done deal.
That.
He said done it. Deal.
He
you heard it on
no.
the air.
He
said
no.
yes. So Gary Dieter, this is going to be an interesting situation coming up on Sunday night against the Chargers. So Juju didn't practice, Harbin didn't practice, MVS didn't practice. Let's just say they all three didn't play. Kadarius Toney, Justin Watson, he that's good depth. But Sky Moore, man, he hasn't. He's. What's going on? Do you think with Sky Moore?
From an outsider looking in, I never met him, so I don't really know him. But I would say his confidence is just low. I mean, he's had a rough start to the season, and I think if you have some plays that go wrong, especially as a rookie, and
did the punt fumbles get in his head? You think?
I would say the punt fumbles started it, and then I feel like your confidence just kind of goes down as a football player when something goes wrong, when the team kind of relies on you to do one job. And maybe I think he might be struggling with the offense, learning the offense. I don't know. But I would say just his confidence is at an all-time low, and he's got to find confidence. One thing, I mean, you got to think of it one play at a time. You got to have one positive play, a catch. If you're back there on punt return or any special team, just take advantage of those plays that you get and just try to make the most of it.
And they might need him on Sunday. Yeah. We'll see. The Chargers are decimated by injury. They're going through a lot as well. And no matter what happens with the Chargers, it always seems like when they play the Chiefs, it's close. Why is that always such a difficult game? And the Chiefs, hey, look, they've knocked off the Chiefs a couple of times. But why is this such a close, competitive game every time they play?
I think I feel like the only thing that's been a factor for that game is always Justin Herbert going off. He's always doing something special against the Chiefs, and I feel like every time he plays the Chiefs, he kind of puts his name back in that top quarterback category. And I saw that Keenan Allen practiced this week. I think Mike Williams practiced this week. So I feel like Keenan Allen hasn't played this whole year.
He's
so.
Only played two games, are they?
Yeah, so it's going to be I feel like if they get those two back, I mean, I don't know. It could be a long night, especially with the receivers missing for the Chiefs, but I feel like I always say as long as you have Kelce out there, you can kind of put pieces around him, and Coach Reed will do a good job of playing to his strengths.
And it seems like Noah Gray is starting to become more of a factor in the pass game, right?
It's good to see Noah out there. He's been doing all the dirty work. I feel like to be a backup tight end for the Chiefs, you always get a lot of pressure put on you because of Kelce. So it's good to see him kind of stepping out and making these plays when they come to him, because he's been doing the dirty work that goes overseen by a lot of fans. So it's always good to see Noah out there playing at a high level and starting to get rewarded for it.
Nate Eucaty.
So why do you think the Chargers get hurt all the time?
They play on turf.
I mean, they're not the only team, but isn't it weird? Like, how often they have serious injuries with, like, some of their best players? It seems like every year.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like to me.
I remember the weird thing with
the quarterback.
Yeah, who was the quarterback?
Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been a lot of.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, it's interesting. I think durability for a lot of. I feel like Keenan Allen's always hurt. He's been always hurt.
Bosa's
always hurt. But, like, to me, that goes down to the player, what the player's doing. I don't know.
Derwin James is always hurt.
Yeah, so I don't know what they do. I can't imagine they, like, practice hard or do anything crazy. But I don't know. It's until you're in the facility and see what goes on an everyday basis, it's hard to see. I would say you just blame the players for getting hurt because – you have to take care of yourself as a player.
Marco Marquez, do you have something to say? You look like you were getting ready to give Gary Dieter another tip on betting for tonight. So you look like you've been doing some research for the past 20 minutes. Let's get Marco's pick. Who do you like on Thursday Night Football?
I don't know.
Marco, just say it. You know what to say. Thursday Night Football, you know what to say.
Back on the horse!
Don't be sensitive, man. Now. Just relax.
You got a gut feeling, and you want to share it with us. Just say it.
And now Garrick knows just right. to do the opposite.
That's fine, whatever, but who are you leaning towards?
You know.
Packers are favored by 3 over the Titans. What are you thinking about that?
It's Thursday Night Football, Marco. What's the bet?
Right.
That Titans defense just worries me after last week. Maybe laddering Derrick Henry rushing yards tonight. Maybe.
What?
Question mark. Ladder, Alan Lazard, maybe, question mark. Could be a lot of field goals in this one. I haven't looked at any of the numbers. That's what's – I don't do – I go into sports gambling mode when I leave and look at everything, have time to.
I think the over under is like 41.5. I would say under.
This Christian Watson caught 3 touchdowns last week. Is it? I mean, he's figured things out. Maybe that was what they needed to click.
I just think of like what the Titans defense somewhat did. Like it held the Chiefs to low scoring. Like Pat threw for a lot of yards, but I mean they held them decent. And I feel like the Chiefs have a lot better weapons than the Packers do. And then the Packers pass defense is nasty, so they're not going to be throwing the ball. They're going to have to run it every time. And usually when you do that, it's a low-scoring game. So, I mean, and it's Thursday night football. Like, right. Just hammer the under.
Then both teams are coming off on a short week, coming off some very tough games.
Aaron Rodgers, does he appear to be like a creep to you? He seems creepy to me now. It's like a different vibe.
Is it just because he's old? Or
his hair? I'm old. I hope I'm not a creep. But it's like, I don't know. He thinks there's some kind of weird, creepy vibe with him now. I don't know what it is.
I mean, I guess. I mean
is he getting, it's the hair, isn't it?
Something.
I don't know. I think he's just an interesting man.
Is he? All right. Well, on that note, we'll take a break. Back into this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol Sports Radio 810 WHP. So I'm looking at this show, Pickled, that premieres tonight on CBS. It's the biggest celebrity pickleball tournament ever. And you can watch it at Chicken and Pickle tonight. And while it's on, I think from 8 until 10, Chicken and Pickle gives back 10% of all the purchases to Comic Relief. Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit about this. And you actually took part in an event out in California last week, right?
Yep. Went to L.A. to play in a charity tournament that benefited Comic Relief and Paddles for a Purpose. So it's fun. I met a guy named Matt Menaze, who's the celebrity pickleball coach on the show, and went and played in his tournament this past weekend. And just supporting him and the charity is an awesome thing. And like you said, tonight from 8 to 10 at every Chicken and Pickle location, we'll be doing a 10% give back for all purchases, food and drink. And I think it's a cool thing that we're doing, and at the same time you get to see random celebrities play in a pickleball competition. I don't really know exactly what to expect from the show, but I think it'll be entertaining. I think Will Ferrell's on the show,
right,
and a couple other big names, but I think it'll be fun to watch. I'll be there in Overland Park at 8 o'clock, so if you want to come by and say hi, I'd be more than happy to see you.
Nate Bucati, your thoughts?
Well, my son's going to be having a birthday party at Chicken and Pickle coming up, so we love the venue. Can't wait to get there.
You all right over there?
You sound like you're in distress or something. What's going on? You okay?
Oh, I'm going on like 2.5 hours of sleep. Other than that, I'm
set
good.
Set the scene. What's going on? Like, are you?
You got to get some push-ups in or something.
Yeah,
like,
you need to get that blood going, that blood flowing. What's going on right now?
I just drank a big cup of coffee, but that's not doing it. I think you're right. I think I need to do some sit-ups, some push-ups, something like that. I'll be good. I'm good.
You sure?
Yeah.
How late were you? Like, what happened? Why were you, like, 2.5 hours of sleep? Why were you up so late?
Well, it was Colorado. You know, the fights didn't start till 7 o'clock Colorado time, which is 8 o'clock back in Kansas City.
Wow.
And we had 7 fights, and every one of them except for one went the distance. So it was a late night. And, you know, after you watch 7 fights up close of people beating the ever-living crap out of each other, it's hard to just, like, go home and fall right asleep. You know, your adrenaline's kind of going. So I didn't really sleep very well last night. I just kind of we grabbed some dinner, and then I just kind of tossed and turned until it's time to do the show. You know what I mean?
Hey, where'd you go eat?
The Urban Sombrero, right across the street from the hotel.
Was it good?
Well, I had some carne asada that was overcooked.
Oh, wow.
Did you leave a Yelp review on that?
Yeah, did you do a Karen? Did you ask to see the manager by any chance?
Dude, absolutely not. I am absolutely paranoid of someone messing with my food. I will never mistreat a person who's bringing food to me. You know, I am no way am I doing that.
Did your tip affect that?
No. I mean, it's not the server's fault. The food was a little overcooked. You know, I don't want to punish her.
But a Yelp, you can leave a Yelp review. They won't know that's you.
Yeah. Eh.
A lot of people are already wanting to see you fight Jeff Penner in our charity fight that we're going to promote. What do you think of that for a fight poster?
I mean, I think I like that matchup.
That looks real good.
Do you have beef with this guy or?
Nate has beef with everyone in the media.
All right.
Trust
me. That's
not
true.
Who's his, absolutely.
I get along with almost everybody.
I don't think so. I don't
you
think
like
so.
You like to try to stoke beef.
I don't know. There's a lot out there with this.
I'm sure there's some indoor referees that would, indoor soccer referees that would like to sign up.
That's exactly right. How about that? We could have Nate versus any former soccer referee that he used to harass in his men's league. Is that there's a long list of those guys, right?
I'm not proud of those periods of my life. Okay, I'm trying to be a better person.
This is the way you reconcile your past, and you can move on in the future. No, by beating him up. He's not. You don't
know
anything. You beat him up.
He's the one trying to get me to fight these people.
He's not even talking about he says he'd beat him up. I like this.
I mean, if I'm going to have to fight them, I'm not going to just, not try to beat them up. I don't want to fight these people.
I want to do, a barstool rough and rowdy. I want to get this going, man. And we can raise a lot of money for a great cause.
I'm not really interested.
Yeah, but so you'll still do it.
Come on.
Yeah. Gary wants you to do it. We want you to do it.
I would rather play him in pickleball.
Now somebody just said they want you and Greg Gurley in the ring together. What do you feel about that?
I'd have to go up a couple of weight classes, that's for sure.
Wow. What a jerk. You should have said that you'd make him eat a lot of punches. So, all right, Gary Dieter. So tonight you'll be out there, Chicken and Pickle and Oval in the Park at 8 o'clock.
I will be there 8 o'clock watching the premiere of Pickled.
And your official pick for tonight is Green Bay. You're with me on Green Bay.
I'm gonna go Green Bay, and I think I'm gonna go the under.
You will take the under.
I will take the under. I feel like anytime you expect Derrick Henry to go off, he doesn't. So. I'm expecting him to go off tonight because of the Packers' pass defense, how good it is. But I don't know. I don't have enough. I can never put my full faith in a running back to carry a team. So let me. I'll take A-Rod. I think they're coming a short week, but they got to win. Little momentum. Packers in the under.
Right now, DraftKings has the Packers +100 for total over 2.5 touchdown passes. So. Field goals, maybe.
Chiefs by 6.5. We gonna cover?
Ooh,
these are always close games. It seems like
6.5. No, I would say it's gonna be tighter than that.
What do you think of that stadium, SoFi?
I think it's interesting. I think it's huge. Right. I think it's cool, but
not a lot of Chargers fans out there.
Fair weather fans out there, California man, they got a lot going on.
Yeah, they want to leave early, beat traffic.
Exactly.
Nate, do you have any final comments before we release Gary Dieter back into the wild?
I'm a hammer that under tonight again. The under has served me quite well on Thursday Night Football.
41. So you're going to hammer the under.
While Marco is trying to give Gary Dieter advice, I've been listening to Gary Dieter and taking the under on these Thursday nights.
Did I tell you last week, though, I bet the under and it was getting close. I'm like, uh-oh. And I cashed out, and the under hit, but I cashed out.
Yeah, I stuck with it. You cashed out, huh?
I cashed out a little. Yeah, I think halfway through the fourth quarter, I'm like, man, the Panthers are – the Falcons cannot stop them. And then I think the under was 40.5 or 41.5 last week, and they ended at 40 points.
Okay, so it's at 41, right?
Yeah.
These are the scores of the Packers' last, let's say, five games. 21-17.
Under.
19-10.
Under.
17-10.
Under.
20-17.
Under.
17-10.
Under.
This seems like it's almost too good. I mean,
the writing's on the wall.
It's
right?
On every game.
Question mark. Question mark.
And then the
mark.
Thursday night.
Thursday night short week.
Is this too much? Oh.
There's a lot going on Thursday.
Look at the twinkle in Marco's eyes right now.
Easy back there, Marco. Easy.
Oh, man, this
you know what I'm thinking about?
This seems like easy pickings, but I don't know.
I want the Chargers to go up 14 early on the Chiefs just so Vegas can put Chiefs money line plus money again.
We're talking about tonight, Mark.
I know.
This guy's not focused.
That's your problem. You're not focused.
You're focused on all these other bets. You just got to relax a little bit and just enjoy the ride we're giving you. Hey, Creighton, first half, if you need a big bet tonight, Creighton basketball, hammer it.
Hey, what? Okay, back, get back to Kansas City Ruse.
Oh, man.
They're at Kansas State at 5:30.
I know, and the line is huge
what
for
do you
Kansas
think
State
of that?
To win.
I think it's like 17 or 18.
I told my buddy, I think I'm going to pick the Ruse
Are
first
you?
Half. I mean, just the cover. I think I want to say the first half spread's like 12 and a half.
Right.
Dude, there's no way. Is K-State good at basketball?
Yeah, I mean, well, it's a new coach with a whole new player. Like, great question. I don't know.
I don't know either. But I know, because like the Ruse just went and played Illinois and got absolutely destroyed.
Right.
And I feel like LSU just might not be a good team.
Right.
But I learned a lot about the Ruse after that first. Learned they got a lot of European players, a lot of guys outside the country. So, and they have a good coach, so. You never count out a team with a good coach.
All right. Marco, what do you say?
Well, someone just tweeted out, Ben Fox of formerly of ESPN, Tennessee Titans have covered 7 straight games against the spread. Packers are 0-5 against the spread in their past 5 games as a favorite. So, I don't know.
I'm a money line guy, though.
Oh, money line.
No spreads.
There you go.
NFL spreads are almost impossible to figure out. I feel like you never feel comfortable with them. But the under.
Oh, man, it just seems like too good to be true. I feel like we're getting led astray here, but I'm in. All right, Gary Dieter's appearance on the Border Patrol brought to you by Houndstooth, 507 Walnut, or houndstoothkc.com. Houndstooth, old school, never old-fashioned. Go see Gary Dieter tonight. Chicken and Pickle, 8 o'clock out in Overland Park, and watch the premiere of Pickled. Gary, thank you so much for the time, man. We appreciate it.
Thank you, fellas.
That is Gary Dieter back after this on WHB.